south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Let's talk a bit about that gringo advantage that I'm always harping on. How about this for a good example? Now, as much as I hate politics and scumbag thieving politicians and practically everyone that works for a government anywhere, I mean, even if they are decent people who hold those jobs, that kind of work to me just is not a valid life's work. It's not decent work. Like working in a landmine factory or nuclear warhead factory is not decent work. All right, so you always knew how I felt about that. Anyway, it's the truth that a lot of good people go into politics only to enter that toilet and get the shit get smeared on them, too. In other words, they join the scumbags. And the other ones that stay pure or try to stay pure, well, they just don't get anywhere because they're just marginalized, forever kept out of the real power loop. Anyway, down here in Latin America, there are all kinds of elections going down. This is election season. And since everyone down here in Latin America knows that politicians are on the take and they're crooks and they buy votes and favors from the ignorant public, when they advertise on TV and on billboards and give out handbills, they have to kind of be a little bit creative, or no one pays attention at all. But as you know, creativity is not a Latin's best suit. For example, I just noticed there's this guy named Jimmy Morales that's running for mayor of a big town in Guatemala. And you know how he separates himself from the candidates on the billboards? Well, it says, "Vote for me, Jimmy Morales, as mayor. I'm not a crook, I'm not a thief, and I'm not dishonest." Basically, he wants you to take his word for it that he's not a thieving scumbag like every other politician. Meanwhile, everyone knows he is. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because if you're in the States, for example, and there's a big billboard sign that says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm running for mayor. I'm not corrupt. I'm not a thief. I'm not a scumbag like the other 99 out of 100 politicians out there." Now, that would grab your attention, wouldn't it? I have to admit, it is a big departure from the same old, stupid, moronic, stagnant, in fact, moldy, uncreative crap. You know, the usual more jobs, more education, more handouts, less taxes. The crap 99 out of 100 politicians trying to get reelected put on their billboards. Which everyone with a half a brain knows just can't be done. How could you give away crap and then lower taxes? And of course, when scumbag candidates say they're for more jobs, they're for more government jobs, of course, which are not real jobs. You know that. Because government can't create real jobs. They have to steal from the actual working man's paycheck via more taxes and or bigger deficits to fund a bigger army of government paper-pushing slugs. But you knew that already. Anyway, to get off that rant and onto the point, when you're an expat down here in Latin America long enough, you meet a lot of local Latin people, poor people, regular people, professional people, etc. And of course, you're going to meet people, acquaintances, maybe even friends of yours, who will run for public office. Now me, naturally, I try to stay a million miles away from that stuff, since when you get close enough, it always stinks worse than the restroom in a Mexican airport. But that said, I do have Latin friends and acquaintances too, who put political posters and signs on their front porches and stickers on their cars for the two-faced scumbag candidate of their choice. And occasionally they try to get you to do the same. So how do you beg off on that? Well, that's up to you. But what always works for me, and it always worked well when I was in the States too, I tell whoever wants to put that sign on my front lawn for his candidate that if the candidate himself comes over, introduces himself, and buys me dinner, I'll be glad to put his ugly mug on my front lawn. It's never happened yet, up till now. But here's the point I wanted to make about the gringo advantage. And again, I'm giving you an example that's off the gringo tourist trail now, where few gringos tread. Anyway, over the years, I've been personally approached by Latin acquaintances and friends of mine who've asked me point blank to come to one of these political rallies for the dickhead or candidate of their choice, and if I could please bring a few of my gringo friends with me. Why? Because they came right out and said that having a couple of gringos at these political rallies really props up the candidate's bona fides and gives him a kind of a first world stamp of approval You know, major bragging rights. So then you might ask, with my distaste and hatred for politics and political asswipes of all stripes, how many times have I got sucked into one of those gigs? Well, in my 25-plus years down here, I've only done it for one guy. In fact, about a month ago, who I actually believe can clean house in a neighborhood where I had some property. Now, I went there with a couple gringo buddies, and we never said a word because the whole thing was in Spanish. But all we really had to do was kind of show that there were some gringos on this guy's side. So anyway, time will tell how all that turns out. All right. I know what you're thinking. Call me two-faced. Call me a hypocrite. I showed up with a couple other gringos at the Challengers event. And if at election time he wins, well, he had gringo support like no other candidate gets. So we'll hold his feet to the fire. You know the old saying. He may be a scumbag parasite, but at least he's our scumbag parasite. That said, in this case, if you knew him, he's the closest thing we're going to get to an honest, intelligent politician. And yes, he bought me lunch plenty of times. Okay, and now from the It Could Only Happen in Latin America department. When you get down here and you're driving around, especially in the big city, you'll occasionally see signs and posters advertising self-help groups, like, for example, Alcoholics Anonymous. Many of the same ones you see up in the States. Diabetic groups, single mother groups, parents of children with Down syndrome, self-help groups for problems like cancer and kidney dialysis, and the two most fashionable gringo-style self-help groups, of course, parents whose children have been bullied and parents of children with autism. And in those two cases, it seems only the very wealthy need apply. In fact, I'd be willing to bet that only 1 in 1,000 Latin people know what autism or an autistic child is. That said, there's one self-help counseling group you'll never find up in the first world. When you hear this, you're going to think it's out of Monty Python. So what am I talking about? There's a self-help counseling group in every big Latin city called, in Spanish now, see if you can make this out. It's called Asociación Contra Tira Balas en el Aire. So what's it mean in English? It's a group dedicated to the problem of people, nearly always men, senselessly firing their guns into the air just for fun or for the hell of it. You know, because what goes up must come down. So imagine that. Organized associations of people in every big Latin city trying to educate low-class idiots with guns that occasionally just shoot them off into the air like an old cowboy saloon fight in a John Wayne movie. So anyway, according to the group that exists in Mexico, they claim that there are 1,500 injuries a year, and it's just as widespread in all other Latin countries too. So in Mexico alone, you've got 1,500 injuries and about 10 deaths. And remember, we're talking about a country where it's illegal for the public to own a firearm. Yep, a great law in a perfect world, but in the real world, a very stupid law. Now, don't get me wrong, people just don't walk out into the street and shoot off their guns into the air willy-nilly. There's always a good reason, and that reason? Party time. And when you're talking about a place like Brazil, it's during Carnival. During Carnival, there are dozens of emergency room visits because of stray bullets. A lot of Latin Yosemite Sams out there. So naturally, the people that belong to this association, as you might think, have either been affected themselves or had someone close to them nicked by a falling bullet. Sounds like a big problem, right? So then, should gringos and expats be worried? Well, in my experience, and I've been down here, like I said, 25 or so years, once, a few years back, around Christmas time, I was visiting a rather lower middle class family. Actually, I was just stopping in to pick up my car because the guy was my mechanic. Oh, and by the way, I'd say that about 80% of all the mom-and-pop small businesses down here are operating out of their homes or their garages attached to their homes. Anyway, we got into a little discussion about fireworks and firecrackers and pyrotechnics and the fact that people shoot off guns at night, usually when there's a national holiday or a party. Then the mechanic dug into his toolbox and pulled out a flattened bullet. He said it came through the roof in his daughter's room and landed on her bed. Now remember, in Latin America, middle and lower middle class people usually have tin laminated roofs. That's the norm down here. And like he said, a bullet landing on one of those laminate roofs is going to pop right through. So then what about his daughter? Well, she didn't hear the shot, but she heard the pop as it hit the metal roof, went through it, and landed on her bed. It didn't hit her, but came close. And you know, this subject reminds me how stupid kids are. When I was young, maybe 10 or 12 years old, my neighbor had a bow and arrow. And when we were really bored, like a bunch of dummies, we'd go out into one of the big fields outside our suburb in Chicago, and you guessed it, shoot arrows into the sky like idiot Cupids. Of course, they'd have to land somewhere now, wouldn't they? Well, nobody got hurt, and when our parents found out, we got the strap. Yep, we got the strap. And all you softy do-gooder parents out there might be thinking, well, that's cruel. Well, I'll tell you, we deserved it, remembered that strap when we were thinking of doing it again, and said, nah, not worth it. Now, there is a little corollary to the stray bullets in the air story. What I discovered by talking to a lot of middle-class young adults that have been deported from the U.S. because they were illegal, turns out in the Latin barrios of the big cities in the States, L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, all over the United States for that matter, there you have concentrated the lowest class of Latins and the least educated. And they brought with them a lot of bad habits. That means that they celebrate their Latin holidays in much the same way as they did back in the old home country, meaning up in U.S. barrios. On those big Latin holidays, they discharge weapons in the air when they're drunk and happy too. But apparently, no one's talking about it, or it's just not on the U.S. news radar yet. Sure, in the States, you hear about drive-by shootings, and stray bullets occasionally wounding and killing kids in ghettos and barrios, especially. But mostly from people shooting at each other intentionally or accidentally. Here, I'm just talking about drunken partiers who think they're Yosemite Sam and shoot off rounds into the air out of sheer drunken delight. Oh, and by the way, if you think down here it's just the poor and low-class people doing that, you'd be wrong. In fact, a lot of times in the big city, in an upper-middle-class disco and hotel district, during Christmas and New Year's and those national holidays, those streets get packed full of people, and certain brain-dead segments of the bodyguard crowd, mostly new money, with old bad habits and night snooze suits, will get drunk and crazy and fire off some rounds in the air, too. I've seen it. I've seen it in Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Colombia, and Venezuela. I saw that stuff mostly because many, many weekends I was playing gigs in those districts with my band. And some nights, after bar time, those low-class macho Latin guys with new money would fire off a few rounds and think it was cool. Which only proves once again that money, brains, and culture never seem to correlate. Okay, now speaking of brains and lack thereof, there are so many reasons why you have that gringo advantage I'm always talking about, especially in business. In fact, it would take a list as long as my arm to explain all the defects that alert gringos see every time they walk into a Latin-owned and operated brick-and-mortar business. And that goes for Latin-designed, owned, and operated websites, too. Need more proof? Well, just yesterday I went to my favorite shoe store, called Flexi, F-L-E-X-I. Now, I don't make a dime off this, nor do I get free shoes from them by saying this. But I found by trial and error and years of using them that they're the best value for the money that I've ever found. Now, like I said in a show a long time ago, this is a Mexican outfit, and average Latins don't buy them because they're on the expensive side, but not for gringos. They've become so popular with the upper middle classes that these little Flexi stores have popped up in many, many upscale malls throughout Latin America. So anyway, yesterday, looking for another pair of Flexi shoes, I went into a local Flexi outlet. Now, there's not many of these outlets because, like I said, it's upscale. So, for example, if you're in the biggest city in Panama, Panama City, I think there's only three stores there. In upscale malls, of course. So I walked into a Flexi store yesterday. And remember, this is a very successful company. They probably have, I don't know, 400 stores in Latin America. And, of course, a website in Spanish where you can order them. So anyway, I walked into the Flexi store. There were three girls standing behind the counter, ages maybe 18 to 23. And that was a Saturday, so, you know, that's when you're going to have the maximum customer flow. And there were only two people in the store the whole time I was there. Yet, they had three ladies behind the counter. Massive overkill. And even though these ladies are getting maybe $300 a month, probably not even that, 90% of the time they're just sitting there with their thumbs up there. Well, sitting on them anyway. Now, don't get me wrong. They were all super nice Latinas. They almost always are. Genuinely upbeat, happy, and friendly. So after one of those ladies helped me out finding some shoes, I said to her, in Spanish, of course, because we're off the gringo tourist trail and no one's speaking English. I said, you know, people really wish they had Flexi store outlets in the States because you really can't get, as far as I know, real pigskin shoes like Flexi makes. In fact, these days, no other company I've ever run into has pigskin anything except maybe footballs. And in that second, the lady helping me out turned bright red, and she said, as if I'd said something insulting or dirty, "Sir, our flexi shoes are made out of cuero. That's fine leather from cows, cowhide." I said, "Well, maybe some of them are, but the ones I like and everybody seems to prefer, all us gringos, are the ones that are made out of pigskin." Then she looked back at the other two ladies behind the counter. They all kind of looked shocked. And the lady again insisted that all the shoes were made from fine leather. So here's what I did. I walked up to the shoe display. I took a shoe down, the same model that I had at home and had been using for years. I pulled back the tongue, you know, where it shows the list of materials used in the shoe. And it said right there, in Spanish, of course, "The soles made of man-made material. And the uppers made of 100% cerdo." That's C-E-R-D-O. Look it up. That means pig, hog. You know, like Porky and Arnold in Green Acres. Then I walked up to the counter, pulled that tongue back, and I said, "Read this out loud, please." And the lady read it. I said, "Cerdo, right? Pig." And she nodded very slowly, and the other two girls giggled. And one of the girls even said, "Qué interesante. How interesting." So then, what do you learn from this? You learn that even in very successful Latin-owned and operated businesses, the help... Now get this, two of the three girls had been working there more than a year. They seemed to be so poorly trained and informed, or maybe just not one bit curious about the product they're selling, that they don't even know the basic material that goes into making their shoes, even though it's spelled out in every single shoe. That is, if anyone would bother to pull back the tongue and read it. So, here I am, this gringo who's bought maybe three or four pairs of flexies in his life, telling them basic things about their product they don't even know, even though two of them had worked there over a year and a half. I mean, come on, we're talking about a shoe store. They don't sell anything else. And that, dear listener, is a perfect example why your gringo advantage in business will always prevail. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these ladies were dumb, stupid, or incapable of learning. They were very bright, very happy, and very pleasant. Just the kind of people you want in a retail store like that. But believe me, there's something very wrong and backward about the way nearly all Latin businesses train and motivate their employees. It's as if even in a big company like that, no one's ever written an employee manual. And you know what? They haven't. I asked one of the girls. She gave me the universal shoulder shrug and said, "Employee manual? What's that? What's it for?" So they've got it right at the factory in Mexico. They make tremendous shoes. But they, like 95% of all Latin American business operations, have a hell of a lot to learn and, in fact, are hopelessly in the muck on the retail side. Which is why you have that gringo advantage. So do check out Flexies if you ever walk by one of their stores. In fact, the reason why I went yesterday was because there was a 40% off sale. Even so, 90% of Latins will never buy them at that price. Remember, Latin America is the land of the clones and the pirates, so you might think you see people running around in high-quality Nikes, Hush Puppies, Bass, whatever. The fact is, down here, men just don't pay $50 to $100 bucks for a shoe. And the average price for flexi shoes is between $60 to $80 bucks. So, down here in Latin America, you just can't tell a person's earning power by what he or she wears. There's just so much pirating going on. Which brings me to an email by our longtime listener, Marcos. And he writes, "Hi, Johnny, it's P.T. Marcos again from Mexico." P.T. meaning permanent traveler or perpetual tourist. "Hey, thanks for continuing to advise people to avoid Mexico as it helps keep the gringo crowds here down to a reasonable size. You know, Mexico does have its unique merits. Beyond its colorful culture, Mexico is a type of halfway house for gringos. Being that here is like jumping into the shallow end of a pool in order to work on your Spanish and your cultural savvy before heading off to the deep end in El Salvador, Bolivia, or whatever. Of course, up here, you really have to know which cities are safe and interesting and how to navigate them. So maybe you do have to know how to swim after all. And I recently found out something new about Mexico. Did you know that the degree to which you are on the tourist trail changes at different times of the year? In the off-season, you can walk around town and only see Mexicans, and it feels like you're way off the tourist trail altogether. especially when you ride the city bus, which is my preferred way of meeting the locals. For example, today, a Mexican laborer in a baseball sweatshirt and cap started to talk to me loudly in the bus aisle, in Spanish, of course. I thought he wanted money at first, but it turned out all he wanted was to chat and learn some English words with a real-life gringo. Man, was he extra proud of that sweatshirt with the English letters. He told me all about how his friend gave it to him, and I heard his story of how he got that gringo baseball hat, too. You gotta love the gringo advantage when it comes to getting cultural exposure. But the main reason I'm writing is to share a tip on learning Spanish that might be useful for your listeners. As we all know, the easy part of learning Spanish is mastering the standard grammar and vocabulary. Anyone can look it up online or take classes at a standard Spanish school, but the hard part is actually becoming functional in the language and especially understanding what the heck the locals are saying. This is doubly true for guys like me who aren't the quickest on their feet in the language learning process. But to get even a little better at it, you need to spend a lot of time conversing with a local Spanish speaker. And here's a good way to do it. As you know, almost any hardworking Latin family could really use extra money, so I had a friend introduce me to a Mexican family that she knew. In this family, there's a young mother with three kids, and I offered to pay her a small amount per hour simply to sit and talk Spanish with me. And she jumped at the chance. So, twice a week, I meet with her, and that's all we do. We talk Spanish. And unlike the Spanish you get in most schools, it's authentic street Spanish. She doesn't teach me grammar as, like I said, I can review that myself on studyspanish.com or whatever. But she helps me with the local vocabulary, teaches me about the local culture too, and even corrects my verb tenses. And it was because of her that I was able to understand that Mexican guy on the bus with the English sweatshirt. So my tip for your listeners, at the intermediate level of Spanish anyway, is to go find a local who has made it all the way through high school. Unless, of course, you already have a Latin novia or novio that's girlfriend or boyfriend, which is really the best way of all. Today, my tutor told me about one of the best cleaners that low-income Mexicans use to clean their bathrooms. You'll never guess what it is. Coca-Cola. She said if you spread it on the sink and leave it overnight, then all the soap scum will come off in the morning. Not bad, huh? She also said there's a type of hot sauce sold in Mexico that is so full of toxic chemicals and additives that it works equally well as a cleaner, though I bet you'd want to wear rubber gloves when using that one. She also advised that I make all my hot sauces from scratch and don't buy the bottled stuff, since you really don't know what they put in it, and a lot of people sell that stuff on the street with no label. You know, a lot of homemade vendors. Oh, and another thing. She told me that Mexican children have an unusually rigorous vaccine schedule. They, in fact, need to go through numerous rounds of vaccines by the time they enter kinder at age 4 and need to have a special certificate in order to attend school. This is in spite of the fact that there seems to have been a bad polio vaccine here about 40 years ago that crippled many, many people. Not only that, but recently 29 babies in the state of Chiapas were given vaccines that were infected with a bacteria that made them all seriously ill. What have you heard about the vaccines down here? As usual, share any of this if you wish. We're all in it together. Keep up the good work, and the show just keeps getting better. From Mexico with love, P.T. Marcos. All right, P.T., let's touch on that vaccine thing. Now, parents can do what they want, but I wouldn't give my kid vaccines. Nope. In fact, I pretty much have had dogs all my life, too, and I'll give them the first round of just a few puppy vaccines, not all. Because I know there are diseases like parvo and kennel diseases that could kill a young pup in a week. But after that, guess what? I've never given my dogs another vaccine the rest of their lives. And every last one that made it past the puppy stage lasted well beyond the normal years for that breed. What about human vaccines, then? Everybody, I mean everyone's on board. They think vaccines are just great. I'm talking about lower, middle class, upper, even very wealthy people. Oh no, they don't connect it with any of these new childhood problematic diseases like autism. Parents down here don't connect the dots anyway. Why would they? The average Latin doesn't read anything but the front page, the entertainment page, and the sports pages. Sound familiar? In fact, Latins eat even more of that slop the news media puts in the trough than Americans do. Like I said in a past show, there's very, very little alternative press in the Latin world. And what there is of it, people don't read anyway. And you know, in my 25-plus years of being in Latin America, I've only met one Latin who's ever said a thing against vaccines. And that was my dentist. He went to school in the States, by the way. Why Latins love everything and anything coming from the first world, including junk food, Coca-Cola, and vaccines. You already know that most Latins are dying to live in the States, and some of them die trying. And crazy enough, there are all kinds of first world do-gooder organizations coming down and vaccinating the poor peoples in Latin America. You see it in the papers all the time. First world church and medical groups like Doctors Without Brain Cells are leading the charge in vaccinating poor kids like crazy, especially out in the boonies. While corrupt organizations like WHO, the ironically named World Health Organization, offload containers full of vaccines down here in Latin America, sometimes off in bad batches for government personnel to administer. And really, the vaccine issue is just a mess. So what's the answer? Either homeschool or send your kids to private school. Then you're the boss, you're in control of your kids, and you can opt out. The truth is, I'd say only about one out of every 20 expat gringos down here actually bring their kids down. Most make the trek down here after their kids are grown up and long gone. So the vaccine issue really doesn't have a big impact on the gringos and expats. What about older gringos and the flu shot? Well, you know what? I've asked around and it doesn't seem that anyone has flu shots down here. The doctors don't stock them. They don't mention them. It's never publicized. Not bad. I'm for that. For some, that might be a good reason to move down. So then, are older people dying from the flu down here? I mean, that's one of the reasons people say to get the flu shot up north, right? Well, if you ask any doctor down here, he'll tell you, usually with a puzzled look on his face, it's just not an issue. And yet, get this, with all the poverty and the average person making only $300 a month, most of Latin America have the same lifespan statistics as people in the States, without the benefits of whole foods, flu shots, and prescription drugs. Okay, that said, I'd like to remind you once again about my Latin American seminar. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link, and sign up. We're about 4 weeks away from launch time, so you still have time to get on board and make your plans. Don't miss this chance to get your Plan B in action.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.